We pick it up here in verse 21, John 21, 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. We're looking here at the life of the Apostle Peter, Simon, named Cephas by our Lord. We saw that last time. And a couple things that we want to keep in mind in this study is that we want to watch and learn. We want to watch and learn from what Peter heard, saw, and then what he did. Peter heard some things. Peter saw some things. And then he had reactions and things that he did regarding such. Let us keep in mind also that the account of Brother Peter's life in the Scriptures is a testimony to us that there is help and hope for us, even in our failing, even in our misunderstanding, even in our misfocus and not having a full understanding or right understanding of things, or even with our preconceived notions about things, there is help and hope for each one of us. I believe that's one of the things that we see with our brother. We don't want to rail on him. We don't want to think that we would do better. We want to learn from these accounts that our Lord has given us about our brother, and we need to be thankful that these accounts are here. You know, if you and I can learn from where we see the obvious failure of our brother as he walked, his successes and great faith in the Lord, if we can learn from those ourselves without having to experience failure, we are indeed blessed and benefited, aren't we? And so that's the reason that these things are there. And you know, it gives us a hint and a clue, too, about how we need to be one with another. When I fail and when I falter, I need you to pray for me. I need you to come alongside me and say, hey, Brother Jim, you know, you need to think about this or give consideration to this kind of thing. You know, I speak about in the context of us being brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to always be edifiers, not burner downers. We need to be builder uppers, not terror downers. The other thing that we want to see with Brother Peter is we'll see this man changed by our Lord Jesus from one of John the Baptist's disciples to an apostle and a struggling disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, ultimately to a converted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that. Another thing that occurred to me, I forgot to put it in my notes last time, the Lord brought it back to mind. Another thing that we'll see in this study too, and it's a good thing, it's a good study tool, it's a good thing to understand about the studying of the Gospels, is we'll see here also the chronology of the Gospels and how they go along. Because what we're doing is we're trying to consider Peter's life in chronological order. And there are markers and different things in the Gospels that help us take the Gospels and tie them one to another. It had been mentioned several Sundays ago, I think maybe when Brother Stephen was bringing his lesson about prayer. Was it prayer? Now, was that the latest thing that you did? Forgive me. I had a little brain bubble there. It was brought about prayer. And he mentioned about the synoptic Gospels, okay? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are the Gospels that are in, they tell about the entire ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Or the entire life, really, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are synonymous. They're kind of going along together. They tell the whole thing from Jesus Christ arriving as a child to his ascension back to heaven. Okay, it tells about his ministry. With the Gospel of John, it's not a synoptic gospel in that it focuses and tells about some things at the beginning, but then pretty much rushes to the end of the Lord Jesus' ministry, and then gives great expanse on the latter part of his ministry. So it's unlike Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so I have that understanding and learn from that if you want to, you know, there's good things in all of them, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they run together, okay? They run together, and there's these interconnections that we can find and place between them to help us time out things that one speaks about maybe just fleetingly and another gospel speaks about in more detail, helps us put those things in the right place in the right order. So the whole account of the Lord's life and ministry is going to be woven through those. Then John tells us about things at the beginning of the ministry of the Lord, and then tells us much about his latter days in the time of that three-year ministry. We saw where Peter met Jesus there in Bethabara, and we see where the Lord in Galilee called, and we just read that verse in Matthew about where the Lord said, follow to Peter and others there, follow me. We want to pick up our consideration this afternoon in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. So Jesus has said to these, our brethren, and namely to Peter, he's our focus, follow me. We saw over there that they left it all from their jobs. So he meets Jesus down in Judea, over there around the Jordan River where John was baptizing, but then answers the call of our Lord up in Galilee in his hometown, doing the work that he did. And again, as it is with the Lord calls workers. He calls workers. None of the men that you see that are called by the Lord in the Scriptures are deadbeats. They're not deadbeats. They're workers. Okay? The Lord calls workers. And we understand folks may have limitations and such as that, but I've known of some men that thought they didn't want to do this and they didn't want to do that and they didn't want to do much with their life, and they thought, well, the ministry would be a good thing to get into. Wrong. Because the Lord doesn't call slackers and folks that don't want to work. He calls workers. You find that through the Scriptures. So these men were right in the midst of their work, and he said, come follow me. So he's following along with them. And in Matthew chapter 8, we see, we'll pick it up here in verse number 14. And when Jesus... Matthew 8:14, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, so his house there, and we saw there that Peter is lives in Bethsaida, okay? And I hadn't understood that all the time. I associate Peter more with Capernaum, but Bethsaida is his hometown. He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. You know, those are few words, aren't they? That's just a couple of verses. But you think about what that means. Think about what that's saying. We've all had our children or ourselves sick in our and be at home. You know, you're kind of laid up on the couch or laid up on the bed, right? And you're sick, you're not feeling good, you got a fever. Usually when you have a fever, you don't want to eat, loss of appetite, and then maybe even worse. I mean, you're just really, really sick. We know what that's all about. We know that that doesn't pass usually any less than in 12 hours. Sometimes it takes 24, 36, 48, 72 hours for it to pass. We're holding our breath the whole time, aren't we, while we're waiting for that to go to get ourselves or our loved one to go ahead and get well from that. Here, Peter first has a wife, doesn't he? And so, in the consideration of Peter being the Pope, which he's not, but universalism, Catholicism would say that he's the leader or the foundation of the church, and they claim that celibacy is something that the ministry should follow, Peter breaks that and blows that wide open, doesn't he? And so Peter has a wife, and that's the only way he can have a mother-in-law, and his mother-in-law is laying there, and she's got a fever. So they come into the house, and Peter invites the Lord, or the Lord instructs them that they're going to go to Peter's house, however that is, and they go there. Maybe Peter's going to go pack up. You know, maybe the Lord's told him, said, we're going to hit the road. We know that the Lord did go through cities and preach, and the Lord's told him to follow me. They find out, Peter walks in and says, how's your mother doing? She's still sick. And Jesus, you know, we don't know the dialogue that went on, but people are people. The Lord knew, didn't he? But he might ask anyway, what's going on? My mother-in-law's been sick. She's been sick since this morning. She's been sick since 3 days ago. We don't know. But they're tending to her, and they're waiting, ministering to her. They want her to get well, no doubt. And Jesus goes over. Peter's there. And Jesus goes over, and he touches her. Now, with your child sick or your spouse sick or your loved one sick, you know, a lot of times we'll wipe the brow with a washcloth, you know, especially with fever and that. We want them to feel better. We're praying that we don't get it ourselves, but we go ahead and venture to help them because we love them and care for them. That's family life. But you know, we can't do that for them. We can't make that go away, can we? But it says there that Jesus touched her hand. And what's it say? Immediately the fever left her. This lady went from feeling bad to feeling great. Just like that. Peter saw that. She was feeling so good that he touched her hand and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. So, you guys hungry? You need your clothes washed? You need, did you cut yourself over there working today, Peter? Do you need me to bandage you? Whatever is the ministering is, she was willing to do it. She's a worker too, isn't she? She is. And Peter saw that. Had Peter ever had anybody like come home with him like that before? You know, what if we saw that? What would be our estimation of one that could do such a thing? You know, we go to doctors. We've all had doctors that we like. You hear about a good doctor, you know, that really gains your confidence. And they've got sense about them. A lot of times anymore, it's hard to get a doctor that has some practical sense about them, seems like. They're more rare. But it always takes them time to treat you, give you what you need to help you feel better. But Peter took Jesus home, and Jesus touched his mother-in-law's hand, and she was healed instantly. Had he ever seen anything like that before? Never. He saw this. Do you think that Peter just put that out of his mind? Would you and I put that out of our minds? If we're in our right mind, we wouldn't put it out of our minds, would we? You'd be talking about such a thing years and years later. It was talked about so much that even Matthew wrote about it in his gospel. In Luke chapter 8, we go over here, and there are other things that the apostles and the disciples, along with the Lord Jesus, encountered. But we're namely focusing on Peter. And here, in Luke chapter 8, the Lord is teaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom. The 12 are with him, it says here. And there's been women that have been healed early in the chapter here. It talks about Mary Magdalene and such. And Peter is here the Lord. They've been across the water, and they're waiting for him in verse number 40 after the man at Gadara. So Peter was there and saw the healing of that man, the casting out of the demons and all that, didn't he? And he returns back over to Capernaum, I believe it is, and Jairus is there. And Jairus says, "My daughter, my 12-year-old daughter is dying. I need you to come and heal her." And I trust you're familiar with that account. As they're on their way to Jairus' house, there's this woman that's had this issue of blood for the same number of years as the little girl is old. And she's suffered many things of physicians. She's spent all of her living. She's nothing better. She's actually getting worse. She says, and has heard about Jesus so that she says, "If I can touch the hem of his garment, if I can touch his clothes, that's all it'll take." Wanted to get his attention. I won't have to have him address me. If I can just touch his clothes, that'll be enough to heal me. And she does. As they're traveling along there, the Lord with Jairus and others that are with Jairus and the disciples of our Lord. And in verse 45, we see here in Luke 8, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, then the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Peter's the one here that Luke writes that said, "Lord, you're asking who touched me? Everybody's touching you. I mean, we're all crammed up in here trying to get down this street. We're rushing down here, so we're trying to move as fast as we can. And all these people are wanting to be near you and see you and wondering what's going on. They know who Jairus is. I mean, he's the leader, the ruler of the synagogue, isn't he? Isn't he known in the town?" Sure he is. And Peter says, "Lord, who touched you?" I mean, it's laughable. We're all touching you. Peter didn't know what was going on, did he? Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue, power, hath gone out of me." So Peter hears the Lord say that. Peter has said what he said and can just see what he can see and you know, just assumes and presumes on based on what he can see. But the Lord says, "There's been some virtue, there's been some power go out of me." And of course, you know the account. The woman saw that she was not hid, verse 47. She came trembling, falling down before the Lord. She was humbled before the Lord, wasn't she? She worshipped him. She declared unto him, before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." You think Peter's maybe having some flashback? Thinking back to when the Lord healed his mother-in-law? Peter has already seen the demoniac at Gadara and a legion of demons cast out. Peter has seen that. If you and I saw a man that could do such things, wouldn't that impact us? He even heals without purposing to heal. How's that for power? Amen? I mean, he didn't stretch forth his hand to touch her. He didn't go to her. But he was passing by, and she believed and knew that he could help her if she could just touch his clothes. And Peter saw that. Peter was a great public. He was a part of that public audience to witness the healing of this woman with the issue of blood. And then we come over to Mark chapter 5, and you can hold your place here in Luke 8 if you want, but let's go over here to Mark chapter 5. And so they're on their way to Jairus' place, Mark chapter 5, you know, chapter 6 won't work, will it? All right. And verse number 35, "And while he yet spake, there came, as he was speaking to the woman with the issue of blood that was healed, came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." She's dead. Jairus, she's dead. Any of you that have got sudden word about your loved one, and word that they're dead, you know how that feels. Jairus would feel no different. This is his 12-year-old child. No doubt he was shocked. Peter heard that word. What did Peter think? You know, he healed my mother-in-law. He cast the demons out of that guy, that man over there in Gadara. What was Peter thinking? What's he going to do about this? What was Peter thinking? He had seen the Lord. He'd heard the Lord preach. He heard the word of the messengers, "Your daughter's dead. Trouble not the master." Peter heard those words. Well, I wonder where we're going now. Peter heard the Lord say to Jairus, as soon as Jesus heard the word, verse 36, that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Peter heard the Lord say that, said, "What's he talking about?" And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." What do you think Peter is thinking? She's asleep. She's dead. I don't know. I don't know what exactly Peter is thinking, but I want us to stretch and try to go there, to take the time. It's something that we can read over in just seconds for us to get the import and the impact of what's at hand and the life of our brother. The life of our brother is no different than our lives. What's he going to do now? He told Jairus, "Don't be afraid, only believe." And they laughed him, that is the Lord Jesus, to scorn, verse 40. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand. Peter had seen that. He touched the hand of his mother-in-law. You know, I mean, a lot of this, our brethren may have just been in shock, you know, so to speak, marveling. You know, I mean, you know how it is to see something that you just can't believe is happening, but it is happening, you're seeing it. You know, the Lord is not nervous in what he's doing. You know, he's not moving with trepidation like he's going to try to do something. Our Lord is moving most confident, isn't he? Remember how we saw last time that He said, "Your name's Simon, and from now on you'll be called Cephas." Our Lord just told him the way he was going to be with his name. How do you like somebody messing around with your name? But the Lord's got confidence and authority and power. And if the Lord wanted to change my name or make it something that's like that or whatever, it'd be just good to be good with that, wouldn't it? But the Lord's not nervous about what he's doing. He takes the little girl's hand, and he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and then they were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumai," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Let's go back over to Luke 8. Verse 49 of Luke 8. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." So Luke conveys to us a little bit more that the Lord said, "Peter, here shall be made whole from being dead." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John. Peter was selected by the Lord to go in. Of the 12, or of the other disciples that were there, Peter, James, and John went in. Peter had been a public witness to the Lord healing that woman with the issue of blood, but now he's going to be a private witness to what the Lord's going to do here. Could it be that these brethren are the hardest headed of the lot? Our Lord knows us. These brethren are certainly going to be leaders, aren't they? And here they have a private, they are part of the private audience to witness the great power of the Lord Jesus. Could Peter be thinking, he's going to cause her to come back to life? Man, if I had this power, I'd be showing everybody. Mama and the daddy and Peter, James, and John. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. You reckon Peter got red-faced? None of us like to be embarrassed. Was our brother embarrassed? I don't know. The Lord's going with great confidence that he's going to do something for this little girl. And Peter, James, and John, did Peter say, "Boy, I wish he hadn't told me to come in here"? To be laughed to scorn is not just tee-hee-hee-hee. But they, in a sense, railed on them, on the Lord Jesus. "You've got to be nuts. She's dead. And you're saying she's asleep? Bah-ha-ha. He says she's asleep. Ha! Yeah, I've just felt of her cold forehead. She's dead." Laughed him to scorn. To scorn. And he put them all out, the Lord Jesus did. He said, "Y'all get out of here." Took her by the hand, as we've mentioned. Peter's seen that before. And called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. He really did it. He really did it. Peter's going, "He said she was dead. Was she really dead? Well, the master wouldn't lie. He did what he did in Gadara to that man. He did what he did with the woman just on the way here. If we'd see these things out of a man, wouldn't we be changed? Wouldn't our estimation of him be rock solid?" Well, we want to think so. In Matthew chapter 10, and we're kind of in this kind of out of order, it mentioned there about Peter being one of the 12, and so I've got to change that in my timeline here. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1, "And when he had called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon." He's always listed first. "Who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip Bartholomew, Thomas Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying," and he gave them a mission. In Mark chapter 3, "Come, follow me, Peter. Follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men." In Mark chapter 3, we read in verse number 13, "And he," that is Jesus, "goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12. So of those disciples that he had following with him, He called them off by name: Peter, Andrew, James, John, Matthew, so on. He called them by name. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. And then we come to Luke chapter 6. Let's read here. Luke chapter 6, verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Much prayer before calling these men to the ministry that he's calling them unto. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. So he had more than 12 that he called. Whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also called named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, from which he called these men, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which is up north on the Mediterranean, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Not only did our Lord call Peter to follow him, but he called him to be one of his messengers, didn't he? One of his apostles. He called him to be one that would be with the Lord during the time of his entire ministry. And as it tells us in Acts, for the purpose of, to be able to be a witness of that ministry to the world and to the church and those that would be saved and added to the church over the coming years after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was their purpose, and that's the reason that there needed to be one called to fill Judas's place. Matthias was added unto them because he followed along the whole time too. And so Peter, it says here, as we read in these three accounts in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that the Lord gave them power. So when we saw that about the private or public audience that was there and the Lord healing that woman with the issue of blood, and then that private audience of the Lord healing Jairus' daughter, Simon had been given power to do some of the same. Next time, we'll go on to Peter exercising some faith in the Lord Jesus. And may our Lord help us as we consider his life. He's a man like you and me. He's not a super Christian. Okay? Don't think that he's a super Christian. He's not. He's called of the Lord. And called of the Lord to do what the Lord has bid him to do, to follow him and be a fisher of men. Yet Peter has wrestlings with himself, and just like we're subject to, we're going to find as we continue to take a look at Peter's life, you know what the answer to all those wrestlings are? To look to our Lord, to ask our Lord what to do, to go to our Lord for help and strength to be able to do the impossible. Didn't Jesus do impossible things? Didn't the apostles do impossible things? By the power of their Lord. Come follow me.